Okay, well, we're going to move on to the mother and baby home redress scheme. And I suppose it begs the question what the difference is between those who spent 5 months and 3 weeks in a mother and baby home and those who spent 1 week longer in the same institutions. The answer to that is access to an €800 million redress scheme. And why this cut-off point has been imposed, Adam, was, I suppose, provoked some of the most impassioned exchanges in today's leader questions. It was described as arbitrary. It was described as cruel. What did we hear today?
And not only in leaders' questions, that continued in the debate this evening as well. There was a lot of very passionate exchanges. I think a lot of TDs really take this issue to heart, and they've kind of taken on the experience from the survivors of the homes, and they're bringing that into the Dáil. And it's some of those experiences are really difficult to listen to and difficult to hear. And today we saw that spill out into leaders' questions, and there was some exchanges between Mary Lou McDonald and the Taoiseach, but then it got a little bit more heated, I suppose, between the independent TD, Catherine Connolly, and the Taoiseach, when she was really, you know, said that the scheme as it is now was divisive.
Well, let's have a flavour of it, because I think we have audio there. Firstly, of Leo Varadkar outlining the government position on the mother and baby home redress
scheme.
Sadly,
institutions such as these existed in other jurisdictions too, north of the border, for example, in other parts of Europe and the world. And we're one of the few countries, to my knowledge, that has actually faced up to this past and has tried at least to do something to put things right and put right some of the wrongs of the past. And I don't think it's solely a matter of money, and there's lots that's being done that goes well beyond financial redress. But the cost, we estimate to the taxpayer, will be €800 million, €800 million that could otherwise be spent meeting the needs of today or trying to build a better future. But we've decided that because of the wrongs that were done in the past, this is an appropriate amount of money to spend trying to put right the wrongs of the past, at least in some way. And if we were only interested in cost containment, Deputy, we would have just left these matters to the courts.
All right, that was Leo Varadkar at Leaders' Questions. Here's Catherine Connolly, mentioned by Adam there a moment ago.
How dare you take pride in what you have done when you have been forced every step of the way? A more humble Taoiseach might learn, as you have been implored by the High Court and by various international and national bodies, including the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, to learn. And to base any redress on fairness and human rights, you are not doing that. At the very least today, tell us, what was the justification for the 6 months if it wasn't money?
And that was independent Seachtain Dála for Galway West, South Mayo, Catherine Connolly there. Adam, we got some numbers as well as to how many people are included and how many people are excluded as a result of this.
Yeah, I think the inclusion is around 34,000 people, and it's an €800 million scheme for which includes financial payments and an access to an enhanced medical card. Now, the issue really is that 6 month period that you mentioned at the start of the piece, which excludes about 24,000 people. And you're right, there is this kind of really strange position where if you're, you know, 6 months and a week, you then qualify for the payments, but if you're before that, you don't, which is a difficult position for the government to try and defend, I think.
Right. And where is where is the redress scheme at the moment in terms of legislation?
That legislation passed its fifth stage in the Dáil today after a vote. I think it was 73-62, something like that. So that moves on now to the Seanad.
Okay, all right. Well, on the line now we have Samantha Long, who's herself a survivor of the mother and baby home. Samantha Long, thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Good evening, Colm, and everybody.
You're a survivor of a mother and baby home. So are your two siblings. You qualify for the redress scheme. They don't. How did this
one does and one doesn't, Colm? Yes.
So, can you understand what this 6 month cut-off point is about in that context?
No, I can't. It wasn't explained. It's never been fully explained at the outset of the passage of the bill through the Dáil. It was set out by the minister that babies less than 6 months wouldn't remember what happened to them or wouldn't have any cognition of what happened to them, and therefore that they weren't harmed as much as babies older than 6 months. So the ones from 0 to 6 months would not be entitled to any redress for the suffering that they went through, which was suffering by being separated from their mothers and other things that they went through, not just the separation.
Well, you mentioned the separation there. I mean, when they say a baby wouldn't remember what happened to them, the separation is something that lasts throughout their lives. So what's the difference?
It is. That, well, to me, there is no difference. And, you know, if anybody on the panel or in government can think of any baby that they know or have known from 0 to 6 months, that baby is a real person. That baby has real needs and real emotions and traumatic effects to various things that have happened to that baby. And, you know, in my submission to Oak Consulting, who the minister engaged to actually ask survivors what they wanted, not just for themselves, but for others who weren't in the very same position as them. They wanted various things, including for all to be recognised and for that to be on a sliding scale, depending on how long you were in, but not for others to be left outside. I was sitting in the gallery this evening, Colm, and I was there 3 weeks ago as well. I sat with men from Galway, probably the same age as my dad, who were boarded out, who won't be recognised. They lived in sheds with animals. They were beaten with nettles. They will get nothing. I sat this evening with the mixed race survivors. Some were adopted and some weren't. Their pain won't be recognised because they were in institutions that won't be recognised in this scheme, or others were in a mother and baby home for 5 months and 2 weeks. I couldn't look them in the eye and tell them that I am entitled to €12,500 and a medical card because I am being treated differently to them. All I could actually do was sit beside them and squeeze their hand and feel ashamed that I'm entitled to that redress, and they are not. My twin sister, who lives in New York, will be entitled to €12,500 and medical expenses, not a medical card because she doesn't live in the state. Our mother, who was in the institutions for 36 years, is dead and will not cost the state the €65,000 that she would be entitled to if she were still alive. And if she were still alive, she would only be 69 years old right now. Our sister, who was born of that same mother, who was abused in the institutions in which she lived from age 2 to age 51 when she died, the sister was, who we've never met, was in the institution for less than 6 months. So the twins are entitled to 12 and a half grand, not a life-changing amount of money. The sister, who we've never met and was also adopted, is entitled to nothing. I can't figure it out.
And when you hear, I suppose, the figure of €800 million being mentioned, and also then the issue of money that is spent redressing the past is not available to spend on expenditure today. How does somebody?
I can't understand that weighing scale. You can't weigh things that we need today against reparations that need to be made for the past. We don't know how many people will actually apply for the scheme. That's a very arbitrary figure of who may apply, who's dead, who will not apply, who's illiterate and won't be confident enough to apply, who wants to keep a secret and won't apply. There are just so many complicated aspects to survivors. And I don't call myself a survivor, I call myself an adoptee. And I have done for years. But when I read about everything that happened in Tuam, I remember ringing my sister in New York and I said, oh my God, Etta, we are survivors. We lived, we're here. But I still call myself an adoptee because I didn't go through the things that people went through that I met tonight and on various occasions over the last 25 years. Tonight was just so sad. The atmosphere was so sad. The people came from various parts of Ireland. Some of them came from the UK. They were sitting in the Dáil looking through the glass. They moved around to look the government in the eye as the votes were happening. And they went back out in the dark. It's a cold night. And they had the expense of coming to Dublin and everything. And they just kind of shrugged their shoulders and went, you know, we tried our best. Why did they not listen to us? Why are all the children not cherished equally? There's no answer. Nobody can answer them.
I know you've said that €12,000 isn't much and it's not life changing. But finally, could you, I suppose, give us some sense of what the recognition was like when the 12,000 was paid as I suppose, an admission that there was a debt owed to you and your experience and that of your family?
Well, we'll have to apply for it once the scheme is actually up and running after this legislation passes through both houses. But, that will actually be going towards my daughter's education. And I mean my daughter in particular, because she's 14. And my sister and I have decided that we're going to put that money towards our daughter's education in memory of the grandmother that they never met. And we are grateful that something will be paid as a legacy of what she went through for 36 years. And that's really all I have to say about that. We'll be educating our girls.
Samantha, thanks very much for joining us on the line. I appreciate that. It's not an easy thing to talk about, and it's all the more appreciated that you came on and gave us an insight into your experience.
Appreciate you giving me voice on behalf of our family and the people I met tonight. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to go to the panel on this. It's into the Shannon for its next stage, Lisa Chambers. Mm-hmm. When you hear somebody who has survivor experience like that, and those two men that Samantha Long sat beside in the gallery today, how is a 6-month cutoff point justified in that context?
I can't really explain the 6-month cutoff because nobody actually knows how that age was arrived at. As Samantha said, we've heard things along the lines of, up until that point you've no memory or no recollection, but we kind of know now from early years, educators and for those working in that space, that actually from the moment you're conceived, you're impacted by what happens in your environment. So the idea that there'd be no impact for the first 6 months, I don't think is true. And I think, I can tell you what the minister has told the Dáil in terms of the rationale behind it and what the government have said, in that the up to six months, they say that through extensive engagement with people in that cohort, that the thing they most wanted was not financial compensation, but the birth information and tracing bill and access to records. That was their biggest ask. So the government's response has been, we've addressed the key concern for that cohort of people. That's been the response to the campaigners on that front. And I think when you listen to Samantha, and I know Samantha, and she's a fantastic advocate for survivors of the institutions, it's not about the money. I think that sometimes this has been viewed in terms of the financial compensation, but for those that are not included, it's not because they didn't get payment, it's because they feel they haven't been recognised.
But if you listen to Samantha there, she's, having already gone through a traumatic experience, is now left with a sense of guilt because of the difference that's been made between her and people who spent less than 6 months in a mother and baby home. I mean, can it be justified for that additional negative emotion to be put on top of people who have already had a difficult emotional experience in life?
No, I mean, I can only imagine what it must have felt like for Samantha to sit in the gallery and to be in a different cohort of people that were getting compensation.
Can you support this in the Shannon?
Well, I've said to the minister repeatedly that I don't think it's the right approach to take. It would have been far better if they had set aside an amount of money that we could afford. And 800 million is a significant amount of money. Let's not say otherwise. Of course it is. But it should have been an exit pot of money shared among everybody, as much as we could afford. And I think we could have probably afforded more than this. I do take on board the Taoiseach's comments that...
Can you table amendments to this?
As a government senator, I won't be tabling amendments. And the bill will come through. There will be amendments tabled. But this is a decision taken by Cabinet, by government. And as government senators, the whip will be applied. That's just the reality of politics and being in a political party.
It's not good enough.
You can say that, Mick, and that's easy for you to say as a party not in government. But okay. I'm giving you my honest view of it. I think that the key issue is not the fact that they didn't get financial compensation, it's that they feel they haven't been recognised.
We'll come back to you on this. Mark Wall, as I say, it's in the Shannon. Would you be tabling amendments to it?
We will, definitely, Colin. First of all, I want to thank Samantha. As has been said, she's a fantastic advocate, and that's unbelievable what she's told us tonight, that she's holding some people's hands. I have met some of those people that she talks about that lived, in those sheds and in those animal sheds. I've spoken to them, and this is a very sad night, and that's what's come back from people I've spoken to that were at the debate tonight, and definitely from my colleague Sean Sherlock, who spoke on the matter tonight. That was his overwhelming feeling. It is a very sad night. And I think this was an opportunity for a government to do the right thing, and they haven't done it tonight. And when you listen to Samantha and the other survivors, that's all they wanted. It was recognition, but it wants recognition for everybody, for all those people, those 24,000 that have now been mentioned are excluded, and the hurt that they must feel tonight, and that Samantha has described, that is unbelievable. And the government have not done the right thing tonight, and that's what's happened.
All right, Mick Barry, your party colleague spoke about this as well, Richard Boyd Barrett.
Well, Richard Boyd Barrett has direct experience of it, and I think one of the memories that I will have of this whole experience is listening to the people who were the survivors. People like Richard and people like Samantha, whose testimony tonight was just powerful. And we received more emails and messages on this issue than any other issue in recent times. And the survivors who took the time to write to us spoke with one voice. Whether they were part of the 34,000 who will be able to access the scheme and who are left with feelings of guilt, or whether they were of the 24,000 who have been excluded from the scheme, they said, we do not want a two-tier system. We want to all stand together and be treated the same. And I would say in this discussion, I would put it up to Lisa, that there are issues that come up which are secondary issues, not key core issues, where I think if you disagree with the party whip, you might say, well, we'll go with it this time. But on an issue like this, if you disagree with it, you should vote against it.
All right. I just want to go to some listener comments here. People texting in on 51551 and also tweeting, why are the families with children from baby homes who are farmed out not required to contribute to the compensation like religious orders and government? As you said in your programme, they lived in sheds like animals, worked 14 hours a day and not paid. This will be the next major scandal still to be addressed, as a texter called Ronnie. Somebody texting in or tweeting in says, people want to be included. Campaigners want all included. Government position is disgraceful. Shameful to say we are spending 800 million as if that deserves kudos. And another texter says, what does it matter if it was 1 week or 6 months in a mother and baby home? The trauma lasts a lifetime. And that's from somebody, MI, in Galway. Lisa Chambers, this issue in terms of justice for these people, is that not a higher purpose than the application of the party whip? There are things that are worth going overboard on, no?
You've asked me if I could make a difference on it, and I think as an individual, probably not. I'm being honest with you about it. Yeah, I'm honestly answering you on it. I think
enough of your government colleagues got together in the Shannon and told the minister, we can't do this, we can't stand over this, we're not going along with this. Is that not doable?
I don't think it's going to happen. Again, I'm answering honestly.
You're
on
the
it.
Leader,
I
mean, of the Shannon. You have a kind
am,
of an exalted
I'm
position within the Shannon. Would you not use that position to achieve some level of justice for these people?
The government response on this is that whilst there's a lot of focus on the financial aspect of it, there is other measures in terms of the burials legislation, the birth information and tracing bill. So the minister's response has been that by looking at it in isolation, other aspects have been addressed, concerns that were raised. But I'm not saying that I agree with all of it.
Right.
I don't.
4 billion on MICA.
Well, that particular issue is still quite contentious as well, and that scheme isn't perfect either.
Right. Is the difference here that the election of two government TDs may have risen or fallen on the MICA redress scheme, and there's no government TD's seats at stake in this scheme?
I think on the MICA and pyrite issue, the main focus has been in Donegal and Mayo, and obviously I live in Mayo. There wouldn't be a view that people are very happy with the scheme in those areas, despite what you might think. That's still a very much unsettled issue, so I wouldn't agree with that view on it.
OK, I'm just going to go back to some of the listeners here. I'm listening to Samantha and my heart breaks. I'm disgusted and saddened that our government has re-traumatised these poor people. How can they snatch defeat from the jaws of victory for what's right? And Ken, who's texting in from Perth, or who's emailed from Perth in Australia, says, why are the institutions that abuse these unfortunate people not paying the full compensation that the people deserve? Adam Higgins, political U-turns are possible. As you say, this is going to be a hard position to defend. Do you see the line holding on this?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Especially do after the Taoiseach's performance in the Dáil during leaders' questions today. I think he was really staunch in his defence of how the government have put this scheme together, and I don't see his government going back on this. And I think an issue that's been, or a point that's been raised by a couple of TDs today on this, is that they feel we're going to come back to this, that this is not going to be the end of it, even if this scheme goes through and it's paid out, and that this will continue to come back. It may be challenged in the courts, and I think it probably is an issue that we'll be talking about again.
All right.